It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment in history. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And Nicole is in to be your right-hand woman.
That's right.
Because we've got Liberty Toastmasters Day today, and there's a lot of moving parts. So pleased to have in studio with me Dennis Haynes. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me.
It's going to be a jam-packed show. So great to have you, and we're going to get right into it. Thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. And it's reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. And that reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy right now comes from oil, natural gas, and coal. So again, thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. The word of the day is humility. And I chose this because A quote of the day is from the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. Be sure and check out AmericanValueCenter.org. And the Center for American Values is located in Pueblo, Colorado. It's on the Riverwalk, and they're doing just amazing work. One of the things, though, is honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, keeping these stories alive. And so our quote of the day on Fridays normally is from that Medal of Honor quote book. And again, you can order that by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. And the quote is from Robert R. Ingram, United States Navy Medal of Honor recipient, born in 1945. It was actions that he took in 1966, so he's probably about 21 years old. And this is his citation. He says, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a corpsman with Company C, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines against elements of a North Vietnam aggressor, the NVA Battalion in Quang Nam Province, Republic of Vietnam, on 28 March 1966. Petty Officer Ingram accompanied the Point Platoon as it aggressively dispatched an outpost of an NVA Battalion. The momentum of the attack rolled off a ridgeline down a tree-covered slope to a small paddy and a village beyond. Suddenly, 100 North Vietnamese regulars. In mere moments, the platoon..." That is odd how that's there. It says, "In mere moments, the platoon ranks were decimated. Oblivious to the danger, Petty Officer Ingram crawled across the bullet-spattered terrain to reach a downed Marine. As he administered aid, a bullet went through the palm of his hand. Calls for corpsmen echoed across the ridge. Bleeding, he edged across a fire-swept landscape, collecting ammunition from the dead and administering aid to the wounded. Receiving two more wounds before realizing the third wound was life-threatening, he looked for a way off the face of the ridge. But again, he heard the call for corpsmen, and again, he resolutely answered. Though severely wounded three times, he rendered aid to those incapable until he finally reached the right flank of the platoon. While dressing the head wound of another corpsman, he sustained his fourth bullet wound. From 1600 hours until just prior to sunset, Petty Officer Ingram pushed, pulled, cajoled, and doctored his Marines. Enduring the pain from his many wounds and disregarding the probability of his demise, Petty Officer Ingram's intrepid actions saved many lives that day. By his indomitable fighting spirit, daring initiative, and unfaltering dedications to duty, Petty Officer Ingram reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service." Dennis Haynes, this takes my breath away.
Yeah, yeah, it does, me too.
I know. And this is what he said. He said, the reality of the combat experience teaches life's greatest lesson, humility. So again, that is Robert R. Ingram, United States Navy Medal of Honor recipient. And our word of the day is humility. And I was looking up these different definitions, and I really didn't like some of the definitions. And that is one of the things, Dennis, I would highly recommend that people have a dictionary, a hardcover dictionary, maybe an antique dictionary at their home, just so that we know if they're trying to change words. You're young, so has that ever crossed your mind?
No, it really hasn't, but I probably need one at my house.
Yeah, I think so. I need to go to an old bookstore and see what I can find. And so I was going through different definitions this morning on humility, and let me get to the one that I finally, this is from Merriam-Webster, because this is the definition they gave: freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. And I like that definition the best. And they used it in different ways. They said humility means the state of being humble, and that has the origin in the Latin word humilis, meaning low. And I know, Joe, you said one of these days we need to do a show on just words and their Latin heritage, right?
Yeah, just a word dive of like what we are, how the word got to today from the very, very origin of its Latin origin or Greek origin or wherever it came from.
And we will do that after the election, because we don't have time to do it right now. But it can be used to describe what is ranked low by others, as in persons of humble origins. People also use the word of themselves and things associated with themselves. If you describe yourself as but a humble editor, or refer to your home as a humble abode, you're saying that neither you nor your home is very impressive. I'm not sure that I agree with that. Humble, I think I like the lacking arrogance or pride. I think that's where I'm going to go with it. Is that okay if we define our words the way we want to? Dennis Haynes?
I like it.
We're going to go with that. So let's ask Mary Jansen with Jansen Photography what she thinks about. Well, she and I actually, we text a lot back and forth. And words mean things. And I think that we don't just have to go to the dictionary and whatever dictionary says it means. I think that we really need to think about these words, Mary Jansen.
Oh my gosh, Cam, you're absolutely right. And the only thing I can keep thinking of is a country song. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
I love country songs.
I know. it just makes meanings so much easier.
Okay, I know. Did you ever remember hearing that country song? If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? Did you ever? I love country songs. So, several things. First of all, what's happening over at Jansen Photography?
Well, it's getting harder to wake up, for sure.
And that's why I gave you a 6:10 a.m. Call-in.
I just was telling producer Joe, I said, man, it's getting hard to wake up. And time is fleeting, and I have a dad joke.
Okay.
Time flies like the wind, and fruit flies like bananas.
Okay, one more time.
Time flies like the wind, and fruit flies like bananas.
That is a dad joke. That is,
it is a dad joke. But it was a good joke, and it's the only one I can remember.
At this, and so if it's getting harder to get up, you can always listen to the first hour of the Kim Munson Show, 1 to 2 in the afternoon on all KLZ 560 platforms. But one of the things, and time is flying, Mary Jansen, and Christmas, Hanukkah's right around the corner. And I'm recommending people get a gift certificate to Jansen Photography so that grandparents could give it to their kids to take pictures of the grandkids or a portrait of the family. But I think that that is a great gift, something that people will treasure for many years.
It is. It's something but you know what? Sometimes people forget to use them. So.
Oh, do they? Okay.
They do have expiration dates, so they need to use them, and call me, and we can work that out. It's been fun here. The weather's been beautiful. We are losing our light in the afternoon, so our appointments for outdoor photography are ending sooner. So if the kids are still in school, they'll have to make arrangements to, you know, for something else to get in.
And what about senior photos for your books? Aren't those due like in October normally?
Oh, yeah. So I've already delivered a few. They're scattered, but yeah, most of them are due the first part of October. So we are pretty booked right now.
Okay.
So we're really busy trying to get those done, getting those all sized. We have to size them a certain way for the yearbook, and I do that all for everyone. Everything's retouched, looking lovely, and it's sized and sent on time.
Okay, well, that is super awesome. Let's change subjects here, Mary Jansen. And you and I both serve on the Colorado Union of Taxpayers Board. And I got a lot of stuff done yesterday. We sent out a press release, and also we sent out the email acknowledging our Taxpayer Protector awardees. And so that's a big deal. And then the ratings report is at the printer. It's gone through the third proofing, and we hopefully should have that next week as well. So I'd really recommend that people join us. We've got an amazing group of colleagues, Mary Jansen. That is Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. And
yes.
This is an amazing group, and the work that they do, all volunteers, to stand for the taxpayer, and everybody in Colorado is a taxpayer, so we stand for everybody.
Well, Kim, you're so humble, because I think you do all the work. So it's I just have to give accolades to you. If it wasn't for your leadership, I don't think the group would be able to stay together. It's an amazing group. I mean, I'm sure it would, but you are an amazing leader. You are like our George Washington.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been trial by fire, Mary Jansen. I'm finishing up my second year. And it's been, first of all, it's been historic. The amount of legislation that has been proposed last year and this year it was over 792 pieces of legislation this year. And we go through and we will take a look at that legislation, and we will take positions on bills as they affect the taxpayer. And I think we took positions on over 250 bills, and that was monumental.
Yeah. It was monumental. And can I say something about two of the ballot measures?
Yes, please do.
In my area, and I just recently figured this out, and I just talk about deception. They were using numbers and letters that mean something to people. 1A and 2A, when you hear that, you think First Amendment and Second Amendment. So if you say no to 1A and no to 2A, you want to get rid of the First and Second Amendment. That's what you think. So I thought it was pretty deceptive that they did that, because in Jefferson County, they're trying to get rid of our Tabor rights and take away our Tabor refunds, and that's 1A. And in Lakewood, which is in Jefferson County, wants to do the same, and theirs is 2A.
Well, and there is a lot of deceptive ballot language. I'm working on the voter's guide as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of school bond questions, and they begin with without increasing taxes. But what in essence they're doing is they are extending taxes that would be paid off, or extending bonds that would have been paid off. So that is a tax increase. And I'll tell you what, if at the get-go you can't be honest with me, I'm not going to trust you with almost $1 billion. And they need to get back to the drawing board and be honest with the taxpayers. And we're going to make that point not only in my voter's guide, but also in our ratings report on several different issues with the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, Mary.
Correct. And everybody needs to join CUT and learn, because you know what? I was also a person who beyond me to learn how to do this. And with you, I've learned so much. And with being with CUT and with this group of amazing people, we're able to go through and have discussions about these bills. It's amazing. It's totally amazing learning this.
Well, I'm the same way. I thought it was above my pay grade, and it's not. And
yeah, you're right.
So we are learning that. And actually, we probably could add maybe a couple more board members as we are starting into this legislative session. So if you would like to be considered to be one of our board members for CUT, text me at 720-605-0647, and we'd love to chat with you about that. But Mary, you you're a dear friend. Great sponsors. You and Glenn are great sponsors of the show. You do beautiful work. You strive for excellence, and we've got a lot happening over the next 2 months here regarding the election. I guess it's almost maybe 6 weeks. But I thank you for your partnership. I thank you for your sponsorship. You are the best.
Yes, and everybody needs to vote, vote, vote.
Yes, okay. And we'll have our voter's guide ready here within, hopefully, we may not roll it out on Sunday, but I think we should have it by Tuesday because there's so much on the ballot. So, Mary Jansen, we'll talk to you next week. You have a great day.
Thanks, Kim. Bye.
Okay. And again, I get to work with amazing people. And another one of those great sponsors is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And they can create personalized insurance plans to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Don't forget renter's coverage. And Joe, don't you forget renter's coverage as you are moving today, okay?
Nope, I have already been through one flood. I do never want to experience that again. It is very, very important
to have your renter's coverage. Absolutely. So contact the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. The show comes to you because of amazing sponsors. One of those is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends to watch the games. And I'm actually craving their fish and chips lunch special, so I'm going to have to get over there, Dennis Haynes, and have some of the Hooters great fish and chips for lunch one of these days. So, but it's a great story how I got to know them. It was when I was on city council, and it's a story about freedom and free markets and capitalism and PBIs, so those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that sometimes get mixed up on what they're supposed to be doing. And so that's how I got to know them. And you can find that whole story over at my website. So, Dennis Haynes, it's great to have you in studio. And Liberty Toastmasters is another great sponsor of the show. And we'll be talking with our buddies here in the third and fourth segment regarding an interesting subject. And you and I both, I think, scratched our head a little bit on this. This is a suggested subject, and it is regarding the environment and conservation and property rights. So I'm going to be really excited to hear what our buddies have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what they have to say, too. We're starting off strong with Brett.
Brad Beck will be our first guest when we get into the next segment. So let's see, a few headlines that I wanted to mention. And the first one is that, as many of you know, that there are those stock investors that like to watch to see what Nancy Pelosi's husband is doing. And this was just yesterday. This is from the New York Sun. Apparently, Pelosi's husband sold his Visa stock shortly before an antitrust suit. Imagine that. It said earlier this year, the Pelosi's made nearly $4 million over a six-month period via investments Pelosi made in Nvidia. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And it says that Paul Pelosi sold more than $500,000 worth of Visa stock just months before the company faced antitrust charges from the federal government, according to a new report. And it's, what is it? Nvidia? Thank you. And it says the tech entrepreneur behind the Nancy Pelosi stock trader account on X, Christopher Joseph, posted a screenshot of a congressional filing on July 3 indicating that Mr. Pelosi had sold 2,000 shares of Visa valued at between $50,000 and $1 million, or $500,000 and $1 million. I think regular people might go to jail for that, Dennis Haynes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. I think so, right?
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah.
And we've got a lot of moving parts here. And during election season, any candidate that reaches out to me, I will get them on the air. And we have Mark Davis on the line. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
And you are running for office at Castle Rock Town Council, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, District 4.
District 4. Okay, tell us first of all, a little bit about you, Mark.
Let's see. I've got a 30-year career in construction management. I've been married 29 years. I got three daughters. Good church-going man. Honest and integrity is top of the line. I'm basically running because I want to help protect our town. I see what our town is turning into, Boulder, and I don't want that. And I know a lot of people don't want that as well.
Castle Rock's turning into Boulder?
If you follow the politics here, there's a lot of people that are, I mean, right now there's seven people on town council, and there's only two conservatives in the whole thing. And there's a lot of things that are going on in this town that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, I just learned about it this year. I talked to Sheriff Weekly. He said we're the last conservative town in and around Denver. Everything else is turning liberal.
Well, and I don't think people like that very much. I was, and I have to go down into Denver today. I try to limit that as much as possible. But I cannot believe how dirty and dangerous these cities are becoming, Mark Davis. And so what you're doing is super important. And tell us, your District 4, can everybody vote for you in Castle Rock or just that district?
No, it's just District 4. I've been knocking on doors since March. I just got a couple of door hangers, and I've been hitting every part, Metzler's Ranch, where I live, all over my district. I've already knocked on a lot of people's doors, and I'll keep going until November.
Well, and this is really what government is supposed to be, is citizens stepping forward to represent their constituents, their neighbors. And this is really what it is supposed to be like. And so thank you, first of all, for stepping forward and running for office. What would you say is the number one issue that you want to address when elected to a Castle Rock Town Council?
Safety. Safety of our town. We've seen like I said, I got 30 years construction experience. The biggest thing that I see is overgrowth. They get a piece of property and they throw, like in Pine Canyon, they got 1,800 units going in there. We've got one high-rise building here off of Wilcox that's going to have 178 units. And safety-wise, I think that's going to be a big, giant traffic issue. I mean, it's already traffic from Wilcox, and it's just going to get three times worse with that building.
Well, and this is the thing. So I served on city council in Lone Tree for 4 years, 2012 to 2016. And I certainly love people building homes. What I have found, though, is that like these high rises that you're mentioning is there has been a push from a policy standpoint. And then also the federal government has offered below market financing for these apartment buildings. And so they're pushing that, making it more difficult for homes. And so I think there has to be honest conversations about this real development that you're addressing here, Mark Davis.
Yes, that's true. We have, so if you look at the market right now, a lot of the condos cost as much as a house will. I mean, you're basically renting the air in that building. You don't get a yard, you get a tiny porch outside and nice cabinets and flooring. Other than that, it shouldn't cost as much as a full house, but it does.
Well, and also to your point, there is, I think in a way it's a property rights issue regarding bringing in development. We need to make sure water, traffic, it's a property rights issue to others. And so it's not an easy job being on town council, but I really thank you for stepping forward. How can people get more information about you, Mark Davis?
Well, we have a website. It's Davis4CR. And I have a short commercial on there. It's a 30-second commercial. The website shows a bunch of information about me and my team and how we want to help out. I've talked to almost everybody on town council, befriended most of them. And I think that I told them, I said, I'm not going to come in here with guns blazing thinking I'm going to change the world in one day. That's not, we know it's a team effort, but I just want to make sure that we have the right team taking care of 83,000 people and making good decisions for all of them.
Wow. And so that's Davis, the number 4CR. So for Castle Rock, is that .com?
That's right.
Okay. That is Mark Davis, and it's Davis for the number 4CR.com. Mark Davis, thank you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Kim.
And we have these important discussions. And again, candidate that reaches out to me, I will get them on the air, and we get to do this because we have amazing sponsors. One of those is the Lavaca Meat Company for that steakhouse experience at home.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Indeed, it is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In studio with me is Dennis Haynes, and he is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. And you've got a very robust group of people that you work with.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's a great group. We have people that have been in it for 40-some years and people like me who have only been doing it for about a year.
Yeah. So. And not Liberty Toastmasters for 40 years, but have been Toastmasters for 40 years. Because we've got Brad Beck on the line. We'll ask him about this. But our subject today, our suggested subject for our listeners is what, Dennis Haynes?
It's conservation, environment, and property rights.
Should be fascinating, huh?
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting subject, especially with conservation and environment.
I know.
They're so tricky, and it's very hard to pinpoint where government should be involved and where they shouldn't, because sometimes you wonder if anything would be done if there wasn't government involvement, but too much government involvement's never really seems to work out too good.
So this is going to be an interesting perspective. We have on the line with us Brad Beck. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. Welcome, Brad Beck.
Thank you, Kim. Good to hear your voice, and Dennis, and you guys are doing a great job, and I'm humbled to be on your radio show today.
Well, and I also thank you for all of the great co-hosting and guest hosting that you do for the show, Brad Beck, and your essays. All of it is just terrific. First of all, before we get into it, though, Liberty Toastmasters is going to be celebrating an important anniversary.
Yeah, November. I don't know what month I'm in. November 2nd, we're going to have our 15th anniversary year. And we started our club in 2009 with 20 folks from the leadership program, the Rockies. And it spun off the North Club that Dennis is doing a great job as president of. And we are just looking forward to celebrating, and we invite anybody who's interested to come and join us, either for the meeting or the after party. And you can find out information on our websites.
Awesome. And people can find that by going to Toastmasters International and then just put in Liberty Toastmasters, and they can find both Liberty Toastmasters Denver and Liberty Toastmasters North, which meets up in Longmont. So, Brad Beck, interesting suggested subject, environment, conservation, and property rights. What's your thoughts?
Well, this is a big one, and I think we've advocated it for too long, being on the center to right. You know, Voltaire had a great quote many years ago. He said, quote, "Men argue and nature acts," end of quote. And we're seeing that play out right now in Florida with the hurricane, and our thoughts go out to all those folks. But a friend of mine, Greg Walcher, who used to work for Governor Owens, who's former head of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources, wrote a book a few years ago called Smoking Them Out. And it really has the premise of the theft of the environment, how to take it back. By theft, he means both the environmental groups that have cropped up over the years, as well as the government. And his main argument is that environmental policies really are counterproductive, and they really lead to unnecessary regulation and economic decline. And really, you're seeing this play out with environmental policies that reduce your and my standard of living. They want to encourage us to live in smaller houses and on these transportation corridors and give up our cars. And you know, even here in my town of Erie, there is more and more road construction where it's almost impossible to get in and out of town. And the lanes, when they come back, are all smaller and bike lanes. And so the balance of the economic and the environmental needs to have the input of the average citizen to say enough is enough. We should be about human flourishing, not about protecting a pristine environment. You're never going to get there. And even the native peoples who first inhabited our land understood the idea of good stewardship, which I think we have the best because we have freedom. And without freedom and opportunity and property rights, you know, even Madison argued in his On Property that everything that an individual may have, their opinions, their thoughts, their religious beliefs, all are based on freedom. And if we don't have that opportunity to freely trade, freely have both our physical property and our intellectual property, our lives are diminished. And I think we need to push back as Americans and as citizens that we own this land, not the federal government. So I'll just end with another quote by Thomas Jefferson, who brilliantly wrote the Declaration, but he also said, quote, "I can never fear that things will go fair wrong with common sense as fair play." End of quote.
Wow. Brad Beck, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And always, I love the perspective, Dennis Haynes, of our fellow Liberty Toastmasters. I tend to learn so much from each and every one of them. Who is our next victim?
It'll be...
Okay.
It'll be Greg Morrissey.
Greg, welcome. What's your thoughts on the environment, conservation, and property rights?
Well, to me, it's the thing that I find with, especially what's going on here in Colorado. I've been here since 2006, and like you've talked on your show, the explosive growth going on and the number of cars on the road and that air pollution that's affecting all of us. And then somewhat to Brad's point, if people did their own research, they could find out that a lot of cars, the faster you go, the more pollution you produce. And the vast majority of cars hang around 50, 55 miles per hour. They produce a lot less.
I did not know that.
I wonder if people did. If you go online and take a look at it, you can see there's quite a few trends on it. And then if people want to protect us, because we're blessed in Colorado, we have a beautiful, beautiful state. And then you go to the website that's National Parks Conservation Association. They have a whole thing about Colorado suffering with growing air quality problem, and the vast majority of that's got to do with the explosion people growth problem, and then everything that goes along with that, the cars and everything else, the cooking and everything else, behavior. So it's and then I found that out. I said, oh, what about cars? And they said, if you want your vehicle 55 miles an hour, I mean, you get the best miles per gallon.
Okay.
You go up to 75, and it drops off quite a bit. And then it's like, I did this because when I was, I'm retired now, but when I was working in the city of Aurora, doing Aurora Water, and I was driving from Longmont to Aurora. Then I started doing my research. Oh, it's correct. And then if you do your research, you see all these people going zoom, zoom, then they stop. Stop going zoom, zoom, because you don't gain anything anyway. If you do your own research, have your own clock, and time it, you find that the time you get home, depending on, you think you're going to get home there faster, you don't. You have to do 50 miles an hour. You're going to get much better miles per gallon. You're going to pollute a lot less, and you're going to save money also.
Okay. Well, there you have it, Greg Morrissey. Thank you so much. Yeah. I had never really thought about it like that.
Yeah. You can find the trend. Yeah, I found a few charts online. And they're all saying the same thing, and the amount of cars they've done the testing and stuff with. And like when I was driving, you get to a semi, you got to go past the semi, get out and go around. You reach a stoplight, you'll stop what shows up behind you, the semi. How fast was the semi going?
I know how that happens.
Okay. Right?
Okay, Greg Morrissey, thank you so much for your perspective on this. And I'm learning stuff, you know. Quite frankly, I do like the freedom of my vehicle. I like the freedom of mobility very, very much, Dennis Haynes.
I do too. I don't want to be riding a bus every day.
No, I really couldn't do my life riding a bus or a bike or just walking everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we are really, really blessed with our freedom of mobility. Who is our next guest, Dennis Haynes?
Marshall
Dawson, right?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Marshall.
Hey, good morning, Marshall.
Yeah, you're there? Yeah. You know, I before I start, right, you know how I always like to use the word of the day in my comments? Well, it occurs to me that you can't use humility in the first person, because when you do that, then you're actually exposing the exact opposite of humility. So let me pay it in the form of a compliment instead. And Dennis, man, I'm just so impressed with how you have come along since you've joined Toastmasters. And Dennis, for everyone's sake, right, really approaches these topics with quite a bit of humility. So, and that's the honest truth. I'm not just making up a way to say humility and
get in the word of the day.
Thank you.
Well, that's pretty high praise from, because I have a deep regard for Marshall Dawson. Yeah. And before we get into your views on this, Marshall Dawson, you are running for Congress. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Absolutely right. I am running for Congress in CD2, which, if you look at a map of Colorado, the district covers kind of the north central portion of the state. So over here in Boulder County, we're on the eastern end, but we reach all the way across the divide to include Rout County and most of Eagle County. And I will be in beautiful Eagle County this evening, so I'm looking forward to meeting people there.
Well, and Marshall, last week I was in Grand Lake for the Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week. Great weekend, and they always have a parade. And we were right behind the Republicans' entry into the parade, and they had your name plastered all over their entry there. So they were representing you well.
Let me tell you what, the Republicans in Grand County are rocking and rolling this year. I mean, they have an impressive group of people, and I'm so pleased with their organization. I've become friends with many of them. And as you know, I was at Club 20 this weekend in Grand Junction and couldn't be there in Grand Lake with you.
Well, I know, and it's so difficult running for office to try to be in two places at the same time. I've tried, Marshall, never successfully. So, so what's your thoughts on environment conservation and property rights?
Well, as we learn in Toastmaster, sometimes you have to, you know, cut down your thoughts to fit the time frame. So I'll give some brief thoughts. You know, Brad talks about stewardship quite a bit, and that's one thing that I think is so important that we consider. Because, you know, in Colorado, this is really an interesting topic because so much of our lands are owned by government entities, you know, be it the federal government here in Boulder County. The city of Boulder and Boulder County own tremendous amounts of land here. And, you know, also think about Colorado's beauty. And that attracts people here, whether, you know, to live here or to visit. I have Rocky Mountain National Park just right out my back door nearly. This weekend at, you know, when I was in Grand Junction, I rode one of the most beautiful trails in Colorado, the Horse Thief Bench, which is right next to the Colorado River. I get it. This is a terrific place, and we do want to preserve that. I think often, though, we find people will correlate wanting to preserve the beauty with being an environmentalist, and that's not always the case. You know, if we want to preserve the beauty, it has to be managed properly. And if you think about the management, really, who needs to be involved are the local stakeholders. Mm-hmm. The people who live next to these lands are the ones who really love it and want to care for it. And that doesn't necessarily require government intervention. Let me wrap up with this, which is that our federal government has a history of wanting to take over resources. You know, look at the ownership. They're always getting more. It's more land, but it's also more water. And, you know, water is one of the greatest natural resources that we have in Colorado, certainly within CD2. But it's not just taking property rights when they do that. But without water, we can't feed ourselves. Without water, we might have to move to other locations. So we have to be careful of the federal government not just taking property rights, but putting themselves in a position to where they can coerce behavior on us later.
Excellent point, Marshall Dawson, and I thank you. And again, what's that website as you're running for Congress?
Yeah, thanks, Kim. It's DawsonForCongress.com, DAWSON for Congress.com.
Okay.
Love to hear from you.
Marshall Dawson, thank you so much. And Dennis Haynes, president of Liberty Toastmasters North. Who is our next guest?
Ross Klopp.
So, Ross, welcome. What's your thoughts about the environment, conservation, and property rights?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. And welcome all Liberty lovers. Today I'm going to talk about, we've been seeing a lot of these misguided mandates lately, such as bans on plastic straws and gas stoves. And these are things that do very little or nothing to help the environment. But I'm going to talk about something that will help the environment, and that is supporting nuclear power. And nuclear power is extremely reliable, it's extremely safe, and it's extremely clean. And the United States uses 18.6% of its power comes from nuclear power right now, and we are seeing zero side effects that are significant from it. Actually, nuclear power does emit less radioactive emissions than a coal power plant. So people that are real concerned about radiation should be a little bit more concerned about coal than nuclear. And that is just part of it, because France actually, 70% of their power comes from nuclear power sources, which is really amazing. That's more than two-thirds. And so then you look at Colorado. Colorado doesn't have any nuclear power generation at all. And so you look at why. We don't have any prohibition of it. So that's actually really good. So you have to look at the reason, and it has to be political. And there are some organizations that just cannot stand nuclear power that are in Colorado, such as the Colorado Renewable Energy Society is one of them. And they are under the mindset that we can rely entirely on wind and solar, which that is completely nonsense. Two things could happen out of that. One would be continual rolling blackouts, which is completely unacceptable. That's something that you'd see in a country like North Korea. And other more likely option, and this is something that is currently happening in California and Massachusetts, is we would have to import a large percentage of our power from a different state. And that power would come from who knows what source. It'd probably be a lot of coal and so on. And that is bad for us for a variety of reasons. First, we lose jobs. Second, it's not clean. It's not going to be a clean source of power. It's not renewable energy when you're importing power. That is smoke and mirrors. So what we need to be doing, and this is a quote from G.W. Bush, we need to be investing in clean, safe, and reliable nuclear energy in Colorado, and that'll make our power situation a lot better than what it is now.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you, Ross Clough. Always learn a lot with our colleagues here at Dennis Haines. We're going to go to break, and we're going to be back with our Liberty Toastmasters colleagues. We get to do all this because of our sponsors. One of those is Lauren Levy for Everything Mortgages.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on klzradio.com today.
It's Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Do check out the USMC Memorial Foundation, and you can see the plans for the remodel of the Marine Memorial. It's right out here at 6th and Colfax in Golden. And take a look there. We're coming in on Veterans Day here, the first part of November. And a great way to honor our veterans is to make a contribution to the USMC Memorial Foundation. Dennis Haynes is in studio with me. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. It's great having you here.
It's great being here. Thank you, Kim.
And who is our subject is, it's the environment, conservation, and property rights. So who is our next guest?
Our next guest is Dave Walden.
Dave Walden, what's your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Kim, Dennis. Great show. I pretty much agree with what's being said. I just got back from a two-week camping trip with a number of other campers. And one of the places we went was a place I had not even heard of. It's a Teddy Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota. Huh. And it consists of two units, a north unit and a south unit. And while I was there, a few thoughts occurred to me, and they're these. You know, nature is a very harsh and unforgiving master. What allows us to appreciate its simply awesome beauty and cherish it so, as we have come to do, is the fact that we have plenty to eat, plenty of water to drink. We're warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and we can surmount and travel through nature at will, safely, securely, in the knowledge that our lives are not in peril, and we have more or less reached a point where we control aspects of nature, thus enabling us to see its beauty and appreciate it. I was reminded of that in Teddy Roosevelt Park, because it's a harsh place, and even though Teddy Roosevelt came there along with a few others late in the 19th century, it was a very tenuous existence, so much so that they abandoned it, essentially, because it was so harsh. So my thoughts are that here in America, we have come to take for granted what few civilizations in history have ever been able to take for granted, and we do so at our peril, because the conditions that give rise to our being safe, secure, and not threatened by nature to a degree unprecedented in history, we're going to lose it if we continue to take the cause of it for granted. And I guess that's all I have to say on the subject.
Wow, Dave Walden, that is certainly, I'm going to be thinking, ruminating on that all day long. Thank you, Dave Walden. And Dennis Haynes, president of Liberty Toastmasters North, who is our last guest?
Terry Goon.
Terry Goon, what's your thoughts about the environment, conservation, and property rights?
Well, good morning. Being the last person in a Toastmasters table topics is kind of handy because you get to riff off of everybody else. So I'm going to do that. Brad Beck brought up the big houses and being stewards of the land and things. But one of the things I want to mention is that I'm going to ruin this quote, but something about, your rights to punch end at the tip of my nose. So, and things like pollution, screwed up water, that kind of stuff, as soon as it affects me, then I have a problem. And one of the things with big government is that they do things like if you get a big house, you should have insurance for that house. But what happens is like our entire Front Range goes up in flames, and all of a sudden everybody's insurance rates go up, not just those who chose to build on the Front Range where fires are more common, and the big houses, of course, are more expensive. So, the risk reward thing with insurance includes, including me in my tiny little house in the middle of town, to help pay for your fire damage in the great big giant house up in the mountains. So there's a lot of interaction between people and government and rights and responsibilities. And so it becomes very complex, as you know, as someone who's in government. So I'd love to say, you know, private property is private property until we are actually taking responsibility for our lives and our property, and we recognizing we also have, we should be ashamed if we are not also taking care, not taking care of, but being aware that what we do affects our neighbors as well, whether it's, you know, running our sewage down the stream that then disappears out of our yard. That kind of stuff is, it's real. There are bad actors out there, and that's why government gets itself involved and tries to protect lands and property and clean air and animals and the whole thing. And that's a shame. And if we could all raise our standards, and that would fix the whole problem.
Okay.
So
Terry Goon,
that I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, thank you for sharing your perspective. I appreciate it. And Dennis Haynes, we are just about out of time. What is your final thought you'd like to leave with listeners?
I just wanted to wrap it up with saying, if you want to improve your public speaking and leadership skills, also if you want to talk about liberty, freedom, individual rights, come join us as a guest at 425 South Bowen in Longmont, Colorado. It's the Boulder County Republican building. We'd love to have you as a guest. And there's opportunities as a guest to speak impromptu every meeting. So we'd be honored to have you come out and join us.
Well, Dennis Haynes, it's been just great having you here. And we'll do this again in a couple of months.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it, Kim. Thank you so much.
And again, that is Dennis Haynes. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. And our quote for the end of the show is from Winston Churchill, who said this: success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show, hour number two. Thank you so much for joining us. You are each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And Nicole made a surprise appearance because we had a Liberty Toastmasters today. You need about more arms and fingers on Liberty Toastmasters Day, producer Joe.
I wish I could just grow eight arms for this one singular day.
But it's always so interesting to hear everybody's different perspectives. And again, that was Liberty Toastmasters. And thank you for the great work that you're doing on everything. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. We'll be rolling out the essay from Pam Long regarding protecting grandma this weekend. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And on the show, we focus on issues instead of the personalities. We will mention people that are pushing issues, but we're trying to stay out of all of the personality stuff and just stay focused on the issues. Our word of the day is humility. And it is, let me get over here to the meaning. It is, means the state of being humble and well, let's see. There was different things. It says humble can be used to describe what is ranked low by others, as in persons of humble origins. People also use the word of themselves and things associated with themselves. If you describe yourself as but a humble editor. Typically, I think humility is, as Proverbs says, this is 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And so it could be. I would say being humble, obviously. And so that's our word of the day. I chose it because it comes from our quote of the day from Robert R. Ingram, United States Navy Medal of Honor recipient, born in 1945. Actions taken on March 28th, 1966. He said, "The reality of the combat experience teaches life's greatest lesson, humility." So that is our quote of the day. And if you'd like his complete citation for the actions he took, regarding his Medal of Honor, you can listen to that in the 1 to 2 hour. I am thrilled to have in studio with me Kim Gilmartin, and she is, I would say, a real educational expert, and it's great to have you here, Kim.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we're going to be talking with Pam Benigno from the Independence Institute here in a little bit, but how this all came about, it's a really interesting story. Our mutual friends, Rob and Katie Williams, at the Douglas County GOP Lincoln Day dinner, I was asked to donate dinner for them and eight of their friends. Mm-hmm. And so we did that just recently, first part of September. You were one of the guests. And the other thing in that was that Rob or Katie could guest host or designate somebody to guest host with me, and they designated you.
Yes, Rob volunteered me. He said, you do it. But we've both been in the education reform movement for quite some time.
Yeah. And dinner was fun, too.
Yes. Your apple pies were delicious.
Thank you. That's my specialty.
I know. And I need the recipe now. Okay. Just a gluten-free version, if you could give me that.
Okay. I don't have that, but I bet we can figure it out. Yeah. Okay. So, Kim Gilmartin, we're going to be talking about education here. And you have been in this education reform arena for a long time. And what we are seeing, and we'll talk with Pam Benigno about curriculum, a lot of parents have no idea what is going on. So talk a little bit about education reform.
Yeah. Well, my own experience started when my kids were, and my oldest is now a sophomore in college, so this is when he was in about third grade. I live in Jefferson County, and my kids were in the neighborhood district school, and they were fine, but I just started to, at that, and this was a long time ago, just started to realize that I didn't really like the curriculum and what they were learning. I didn't think that it was content rich. I didn't understand where most of the curriculum was coming from, where they were sourcing it. It's really changed a lot over, I would say, the last 50 to 75 years. And so I started looking into it and found out about charters and classical education. And at the time, we were looking at possibly opening a school in Jefferson County. This was in 2014. And it was a Hillsdale Classical Charter School. It was one of the first ones that they were looking at opening. I think a lot of your guests probably know they've got charter schools that they've partnered with all over the country now. Mm-hmm. To just really bring back a liberal arts education, one that, you know, teaches our kids the great books, the great works of literature, solid math, reading, phonics, history, And so that's
cursive.
Cursive. Uh-huh. Yep. Low technology. You know, get that out of the kids. Get them reading books and writing and mm-hmm. communicating with each other. Teacher directed learning. And so that was my first foray into it. And then for the last 8 years or so, I opened up four additional classical charter schools in Colorado.
Okay, and a quick question, because you mentioned the classical liberal education. Mm-hmm. And liberal, the word has been co-opted, really. So what does classical liberal education mean?
Well, classical, I like to say that that's probably the way our great grandparents were taught, maybe our parents, mm-hmm. great-grandparents, great-grandparents. And it really is, it's just going back to basics. But a liberal arts education is teaching a person how to be a free thinker, how to be a free human being. That's truly what it goes back to. And this is going back to, you know, the sciences, math, history, literature, reading, writing,
civics.
All of that. Civics,
all
yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's not going into an ideology. There's not, you know, this isn't teaching and indoctrinating kids. This is really the best way. This is the way our founding fathers were taught. And
giving them the tools so that they can be free, critical thinkers and mm-hmm. successes in life. So we'll continue that discussion. And very pleased to it's Friday. And so that means it's a Jim May Friday. And Jim May is a cattleman, and he's with Lavaca Meat Company. Jim May, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. It's great to be with you this morning.
It's great to have you. And I just have a question. Is there any tailgating tips that you have regarding Lavaca Meat Company?
Oh, wow. Some of my fondest memories. My son went to Texas Tech, Kansas State first, and Kansas State was fantastic football and tailgating. And then I followed these kids around, and he went on down and got his doctorate at Texas Tech, and that's kind of the king of barbecuing. But what they do there is a lot is smoking meat, and you can buy some of these lesser cuts. Used to make little fatties and mix sausage and hamburger and smoke these things. They'd start out at, you know, maybe 6 o'clock in the morning and let it smoke. The game wouldn't be till, you know, late afternoon or something, and these smokers are running. And brisket's wonderful as a smoked item. Now, smoking is usually like a good way to do it is the Traeger grills that have the pellets, and they just, you turn them way down, and they smoke the meat. And it's kind of an art. Look into it. It's fun. It's, you always have that smell rolling all day, and it's part of the whole atmosphere of a tailgate party. And then obviously, you know, some of the guys have the big screen TVs up, and it's just a blast. I've been down to the Grove at Ole Miss, and the same way, just wonderful food. But make beef part of your experience. Come by Lavaca Meat and get something. We have the little bites are always on sale there, which is cuts of the fillets that you like, and you know, just kind of cut up. But you can use this for all kinds of dishes and everything like that. But it's fall. It's my favorite time of year, as you know. It's football time, and tailgate parties are great. And thanks to you, I got to be MC for the. Not that I'm in this to do this, but my poetry's kind of getting out there a little bit, and so I did the homecoming at Stratton here,
uh-huh.
and all the honor classes come back, and it's kind of a good weekend. We just got over that. And it was a lot of fun. So
awesome.
And I've been listening to your show all morning, and you've had fantastic guests and really interesting show.
Well, thank you. And those tips, I had actually used those for kebabs as well. That worked out really well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another good way. They're good pieces of meat. It's a cheaper cut because of the way that they're kind of bits and ends that are left over. But a good way to start your experience if you don't want to spend a lot of money. And everything on there is the top, the best of everything, okay? It's prime or choice meat. It's aged. It's done right. There's no preservatives in any of our meat. And I really think RFK and some of these things he's talking about are important. You know, we eat right off the grill, and there's no processing. We feed it. Well, we freeze it so that it's, you know, it's preserved, and that's all there is. And the rest of this is just non-processed things that are healthy and that God gave us to eat. And you know, farmers market vegetables and a steak and the things you get at Lavaca are going to be healthy. So
you can't beat it.
Anyway.
And yeah. I love it. I was in last Sunday and got some stocked up for my freezer. Jim May, do you happen to have a cowboy poem for us today?
I do have, and like I said, I just came off of this little thing, and My secretary, Amy, shout out to her. She keeps me so organized, and she asked me to do this, and I could not say no to her because she does so much for our company. And she was the head of the alumni committee, and she said, Jim, go through your usual stuff, a lot of your poetry, and I did and had fun with them. And then would you write something just on your way out, just something about Stratton or something about our school? And so this poem I'm going to give you now is right off the presses, too. I wrote it a week ago today, I think. And it's called Stratton Is My Home.
Aww.
I'd like to say a few things about my town in Stratton High. It's not a normal destination, just a place you're driving by. If you blink, you'll probably miss it. But before you look away, let me tell you about this town that you're passing here today. It's a place where kids grow up proud of who they are. A place where you don't have to try to be a superstar. I could live most anywhere, but I decided to stay right here. I just have always liked the Stratton atmosphere. Don't try that in a small town, I've heard Jason L. Dean say. Around here, we take care of our own. That's the cowboy way. I move around a lot, but no matter where I roam, I still like to see that Ampride sign that means I'm coming home. If you came from here, you would maybe understand my love for the cattle, the people, the farm, and the land. So fly like an eagle and rock the green and white. It's a great day here in Stratton. It's even better here tonight. Okay. That's a Jim May original there.
I love it, Jim May. And as you know, I grew up just down the road from
just
Stratton.
Just across the line there in Goodland, right?
You got it. You got it.
And we're going up to some football tonight. This afternoon we have Friday Night Lights. And what a great thing for Fridays. And then the whole weekend, the college football tomorrow. And then the pros on Sunday, and as you can see, I'm a kind of a football junkie. I played a lot, and I love this life. I love what we have. We got to preserve it and take care of yourself. Vote right. Let's get this thing done and get the right people in there.
Sounds
good
great.
Today.
Hey, Jim May, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks, Kim. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. And Kim Gilmartin, I love Fridays and these cowboy poems. It just makes me smile. And we need to smile with all the serious stuff that's going on.
Yes, we do. Yeah. That's well, I have not tried that meat before. I'd love to try that.
Oh, it really is. It's fantastic. So they're located on the corner of Maine and Nevada in Old Littleton.
Yes, I've driven by.
Yeah, and it is, I highly recommend it.
Okay, I'm going to get some bits.
Yeah, Lavaca Meat Company. And another great sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And they know that life can be challenging, and it's their mission to maximize your financial security as you manage the risks of everyday life. So call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Maine and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. My friend Kim Gilmartin is in studio with me. And Kim, I would really recommend that people check out the Center for American Values. It's the center was co-founded by Drew Dix, Medal of Honor recipient for actions he took during the Vietnam War, and Brad Padula, who is an Emmy Award-winning documentary maker. And they wanted to, first of all, honor our Medal of Honor recipients, keep their stories alive. But they have put together some great educational programs for homeschoolers and for public schools. Regarding basics, civics, all these different things. They have online projects as well, and they really focus on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And so I highly recommend that people put it on their bucket list to go down to Pueblo to the Center for American Values. It is a very special place.
That sounds great. Yeah, I've heard of it before, but haven't checked it out. I think parents are really looking for schools to start focusing more on these things in their curriculum.
They are. And so we have Pam Benigno on the line, and she is with the Independence Institute. She's their director of education policy at their Education Policy Center. Pam, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning to both Kims.
Thank you. And when Kim Gilmartin, we were talking about her being on the show, she said, I would love to have Pam Benigno on. And so thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Kim Gilmartin, what's the first thing we should talk with Pam about?
Well, and I thought about Pam because she and I had just recently had a conversation, about an hour-long conversation. I was trying to get updated. As involved as I am in education reform and education, public education and charter schools, I didn't even really understand what these social studies standards and the changes that they made a couple of years ago that took effect this year. I didn't really understand what that meant. And I wanted to understand how charter schools were affected, because charter schools have curricular autonomy. I mean, that's one of the biggest things about charter schools, which make us different. So I would love for Pam to talk a little bit about these standards and how they're affecting all public schools.
So, and Pam, to set this up, was there a piece of legislation that came down that set this all up? I can't remember.
Excuse me. Yes. And in 2019, there was a House bill, House Bill 191192, that created a commission, they call it the 1192 Commission. And they had three responsibilities, and one of those was to propose new revised standards to the State Board of Education according to this piece of legislation. And it really shows how much power advocacy groups have. The bill was basically to put into social studies academic standards, which are not curriculum, they're like guardrails that the state has put together that schools are supposed to meet, all public schools are supposed to meet or exceed. And so the purpose of the bill was to include African American history, Latino, Asian American, indigenous people into the standards. Now, for decades, and I've checked, it's been required in state law to teach about the historical contributions and the history of these minority groups. But this bill changed things. And it's important to remember that the state cannot prescribe curriculum. That's up to local school districts. They have that power. They have that constitutional authority in Colorado. But the state can pass standards, as I said, and they can provide resources, optional resources. And that's some of what we're going to talk about, are these optional resources. And then teachers bring those in as part and add them to their curriculum. So during the legislative process, there was an amendment to add LGBTQ individuals and communities into the social studies standards. And it passed. And so then when it went to the State Board of Education, when the revisions went to the State Board of Education, but first remember that we revise standards routinely every 6 years in Colorado, so this is nothing new. But we've never had a governor appointed committee give guidance to the Standards Review Committee, which is made up of teachers, and so they did that. And then there was a lot of controversy at the state board level. This process took over a year when you look at all of the prep that it took to write the new standards. And that kind of gives you an idea of where we're going to go with now. What do those look like? If you'd like to hear that, and also the resources that have been made available for teachers to use in the classroom.
Yeah, I think that I would love to hear more about the resources, Pam, because I know there's been a lot of conversation, especially where I live in Jefferson County, about what resources are being listed and what teachers are using. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, let me first just, because I'm going to focus on first grade, and let me read to everybody, it's very simple, a first grade standard from Civics, and it says that students can identify and explain the relevance of notable civic leaders from different community groups, including African American, Latino, Asian American, Hawaiian Pacific, which the state board added in later, Islander, indigenous peoples, LGBTQ, and religious minorities. Now, religious minorities was also added during the bill process through an amendment. And so there's also a standard that says that students can identify and explain the meaning of various civic symbols, and they have a long list. This is an example. It doesn't say you have to, but it includes the gay pride flag. So this commission was to put together resources for teachers to use to teach about these different groups of people. Now, with their support, there was a two-day professional development where various school districts and teachers from various school districts got together, and they came up with resources for teaching about the LGBTQ community. The commission had also done that, but these are a little separate, but they're all up on CDE's, Colorado Department of Education's website for teachers to use. And they've made it very clear now that they are optional since there's been attention brought to all this. So, for instance, there is an article for first grade. Again, we're focusing on little six-year-olds. There's an article about Jared Polis being the first openly gay governor that in the country, and it's an NPR article. Teachers can read that to students. Students can ask, "What is gay?" Now, let me add this too. In Colorado, it's illegal to teach comprehensive human sexuality earlier than fourth grade, and if a school or district chooses to teach sex education, the parents have to be notified. They receive a detailed outline of the materials, and the parents can opt out. There are none of those in law for social studies. So,
yeah,
Pam,
this is Kim Gilmartin. This is the part that bothers me so much, is that we're opening the door. I don't know how you teach this without talking about sex, because it doesn't make sense. The questions are going to start. And so I think we're putting our teachers in a very difficult position to have to talk about these things. I mean, speaking about Polis, you know, let live and let live, but this is not appropriate for this grade level. And so I really would like to know how teachers, even if they don't use these resources, how can they meet the standards? Do you have any idea?
Well, I I think some of this, and I can explain more that are even more shocking than that article, but I think it's going to depend on the school. And what I'm hearing, there's a big difference between, we'll just say, the right and the left, as far as what they think they need to teach. There are certainly conservative charter schools that are going to say, we have control of our curricula. And I think there's more conservative school districts, too, that are going to say, well, we're just going to ignore this. And then there are those on the left that this is like a wide open door that they're so happy about, and they're going to go all in.
Right.
And so I think, you know, and really there's no, from what I understand, and I've talked to some attorneys, there's no consequences for a school or a school district if they don't follow this. So, you know, I'm not an attorney, so that's totally up to them. I've told some teachers that if your school is going to demand this, then you can look at finding people that are LGBTQ. For instance, I've heard Sally Ride was, but don't tell the kids that she's a lesbian. So
right,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
That's a really interesting point, Kim Gilmartin. We've got Pam Benigno on the line with us, and she is the director of the Independence Institute's Education Policy Center. And so we're going to continue this discussion. It is so, so important. And we have all these discussions and conversations because of our sponsors. And for everything in the metro real estate market, Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. It's
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Thank you to Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. And Kim Gilmartin is in studio with me as my guest host. She is an expert on education reform, and you've been in this arena for a long, long time. And probably one of the most respected voices, I think, in the state, if not in the country, on this issue.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, about 10 years I've been working on charter school openings.
And we're realizing, as there's things happening in some of these classrooms that we can't even believe. And these social studies standards that are being suggested, I guess, if you will, are really mind-boggling here in Colorado. And that's why we're so pleased to have on the line with us Pam Benigno. She is the director of the Independence Institute's Education Policy Center. So what's the next thing, Kim Gilmartin, that we need to ask Pam?
Well, thank you for sharing some of that with us, Pam. But I'd like to know just a little bit more. We were talking about first grade and some of what you're seeing in the standards and some of the recommended resources that if a teacher, like you said, if a teacher wanted to use those, they could. Can you give us some more examples of some other resources that are being used or that are being offered so that we as parents can know what we might need to look out for?
Yes, I can. And on that note, parents need to go to their teachers and ask to see everything that's going to be used in social studies, and we can talk about curriculum transparency. But one of the resources for first grade that really bothers me is a video where a first grade teacher, I don't know what grade she's teaching, but she looks like she's teaching a first grade class, and she's reading a book, and she's going to read a story about Harvey Milk, who was the activist, gay activist that had the gay flag created. And so she's going to read a story about Harvey Milk and the process of the gay flag being created. But at the beginning, before she reads the story, she says, "Sometimes girls love girls, and sometimes boys love boys." And then she reads the story. So that's another example. And then there's a book that's called Sylvia and Marcia Start a Revolution. And this, again, we're talking about books that are read to first grade children. And Sylvia Rivera and Marcia P. Johnson in 1969 were transgender women of color. They were activists. And they were, you know, they were demanding rights and respect for especially people on the streets. I have no problem with that story, but not for first grade. The other thing is the idea of transgenderism to little first graders.
Right. And there's a lot more to that story of Sylvia and Marcia that, I won't get into that. But so holding these people up for first graders. And Pam, you mentioned the gay flag as well. And what I found is this has all become a religion. And so in essence, they're teaching a religion, and this religion is focused on carnal desires, carnal activity, instead of these big ideas that we talk about at the end of the show. Read great books, these big ideas, this idea of America, and how did these men get to this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that's what the American flag stands for. And that seems to be lost from what I'm gathering, Pam Bonino.
Our entire public education system here in Colorado, when you look throughout, and I'm not looking at school district curricula. I'm talking about policy, looking at school board policy, looking at what the Colorado Department of Education expects, and what teachers are required to learn about, is based on diversity, and culturally responsive or culturally relevant education is very important. Teachers are actually evaluated on if their students can show that they're learning these types of ideas. So it's all through our standards. It's through teacher evaluations. It's through teacher licensure. It's everywhere. And so that is the focus. That is the main focus that I see throughout.
Well, and meanwhile, I was taking a look at the standards of kids proficient in reading and writing by third grade, and it is dismal across the state, Pam Bonino. Kim, your thoughts?
Oh, the scores are going down everywhere. I have not seen CMAS scores. I think on average, most districts are below 50% in literacy in terms of meeting or exceeding the standards, and worse than that in math. So we're not focused on the right things. But, you know, I wanted to just say this to Pam. I understand wanting to teach kids about different cultures and diversity, and a good, well-rounded education will do that. But I always think about what it is that's in the content. What is it that our kids are reading? What are they showing them when they're in the front of the room? And when we talk about 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, you know, they're in classical education, we talk a lot about a quote from Plato, which says, "Shall we just carelessly allow children to hear any casual tales which may be devised by casual persons and to receive into their minds ideas for the most part the very opposite of those which we should wish them to have when they are grown up? We cannot. Anything received into the mind at that age is likely to become indelible and unalterable. And therefore, it is most important that the tales which the young first hear should be models of virtuous thoughts." That was a Plato quote. But that's why it's so important what they read. That's why we have to put good ideas into their minds. Let them think about these other things as they get older, when they're ready. But let's put virtuous thoughts. And that's why you can't say, well, we're just teaching them how to compose a sentence, how to structure a sentence, how to figure out the subject. No, it's what are you reading to teach that? And that's the parents. There are parents all across the spectrum in terms of where they are politically that are upset about this. They've said, do not introduce these ideas to my child this early.
Well, excellent point. And Pam, the people that are introducing these ideas, the people that are really pushing this policy, I think they know exactly what Kim Gilmartin just said, is that if you introduce this, this becomes indelible on their minds. My father said, be careful what you read and what you look at and what you listen to, and because those things many times are difficult to get out of your mind. And I think these people that are pushing this know this, Pam Bonino.
Oh, I believe they do. The people at the top. I don't think teachers all understand it, and I want to say that it is important as far as cultural relevancy, and there's nothing wrong with having storybooks about little black children or Hispanic children. I'm all for that. It's that you have to see the thread that goes through this, and you put it with everything. You know, putting aside the LGBTQ issues being introduced so young, you have to see this as a whole picture. So I don't mean to be critical of those types of books at all, but at the same time, there's a definite effort to ignore anything that's Eurocentric, and I know this isn't the topic, but, and you both know very well that the type of the cultural Marxism that's coming in and those kinds of philosophies as well. And so all of this is a part of that.
Well, so Pam, I'm going to ask you, you mentioned the focus is diversity. So is the one of the root words of diversity, is that divide? I mean, diversity, divide versus unite. And so they're trying to divide us, which is certainly one of the tenets of Marxism.
I think, yes. I think they are, but I don't think all educators are thinking about that so much. They're very, very focused on marginalized groups. And the social studies standards, when the first set that were proposed to the State Board of Education, when you read about America, you would think that America was founded for just to marginalize people. They were so negative. And through the social studies revision process, they did improve that. So that was a positive thing that happened. Not that they're positive at all, but that was a positive win there.
Well, and, gosh, this is such an important discussion. Kim Gilmartin, we're going to continue this with Pam Bonino. And first graders, gosh, they're just trying to figure out how to stand in line and learn their ABCs. That seems like what it's supposed to be. These are such important discussions. We have them because of our sponsors. And one of those great sponsors is John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Now that school's back in, Mom and Dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And the USMC Memorial Foundation is doing amazing work. And speaking of education, one of the things that they are really going to work to do is to capture and tell these stories of our veterans, our military, that these men and women have been willing to put their lives on the line for our liberty. And liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And so go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org and get more information on that. And Kim Gilmartin is in studio with me. She is an expert on education reform, has been in this arena for over 10 years?
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And Pam Bonino is on the line, and she is the director of the Education Policy Center at the Independence Institute. So this came in on the text line from Jenny, and actually had dinner with her last week, and she mentioned this. She said, what we tolerate today, the next generation will embrace. She's got it, right, Kim?
Oh, yes. We are already seeing that. And, you know, I think what Pam was talking about, and I would love to hear another example, but not just on the introducing inappropriate topics at young ages, but just as it relates to what we're teaching on what we might call, you know, critical race theory and putting these ideas into these kids' heads. I think, Pam, what I am concerned about is some of what I see in these resources, some of the examples you gave, is it's almost teaching activism And these kids, I see it with the teenagers. They're more activists, but they don't really understand why they're being told to stand up. They think they're standing up for something that's good and right and fairness and equality, but they don't have a foundation of knowledge on this. They don't understand. They haven't read. They haven't been educated the right way historically to understand. You know, of course we want to teach about slavery and the Civil War and that 500,000 people died fighting it to stomp it out. But we also have to teach children that, hey, this is, you know, a wonderful country. What other countries have fought it like that? And stop hating our country. And so that's what I really would like to know a little bit more about the resources that teachers are being told to teach on that topic. Pam, do you have any examples of that?
On the topic of, oh, let's see. Oh, I'd have to
think racism. Yeah.
As far as racism. I think I don't have anything at the moment. I could give you an example of something totally inappropriate at third grade that, again, is related to the LGBT community, but
sure.
I don't have another one right
We'd love to hear that one.
At the top of my head. Okay, so let's put LGBTQ individuals aside for a moment as I explain this one. This one is for third grade. And in third grade, if the teachers choose to use these resources, they will have information on how to teach their third graders, little eight-year-olds, about Harvey Milk's murder. And they can listen to an audio tape, audio recording, original one, from his memorial service. And there were interviews of people who attended the memorial service. And then there's another audio recording about the murderer's conviction. And it's controversy. It was a very controversial conviction. And so the little eight-year-olds can listen to this recording about listening to people discuss this controversial conviction for a murderer. Now, I used to teach third grade. I've had two children. I have two children. They're grown up now. This is not appropriate for an eight-year-old.
So,
and what it makes me angry to think that children have already been exposed and will be exposed to this type of material without a parent even knowing.
So do you know, and like you said, parents need to be aware. Parents are the watchdogs. That's how we find out everything that's going on. And parents, I think a lot of times they're so busy, they send their kids mm-hmm. off to school, they trust that they're being educated well. But I tell parents, especially in these communities where I'm opening these classical charters, you have to look at what's happening in your child's school. You have to look at what they're bringing home. You have to ask them. So Pam, would, you know, if a teacher decided to use this resource, do they have to check? Is that a policy, do you know, that would be set by a school board about making sure that the parents are aware of this topic and that they're going to be teaching it so they can possibly opt out of it?
Well, there's no state law that requires that. I would love to see school boards, and maybe we would see some of our rural school boards and more conservative school boards, maybe down in El Paso County, that might pass such a policy at the school board level that says something like that parents would have to be notified. Or even, I mean, they could say you can't use them because school district boards have control over curricula. So there's lots of different ways that school board members could help to protect their children. They're not going to be able to say we can't teach the standards. And so, you know, they technically, and Kim, you and I talked about this a week ago, they could technically get, a charter school could technically get a waiver from the standards. There's only, I think I looked, three in the entire state. But that's unlikely these days with the state Board of Education that we have now, it's very unlikely that
they're not going to get a waiver from this, not with our makeup today.
So Pam Menino, Kim Gilmartin, what you're saying is there's time in the school day that's being used to teach this. Obviously, resources, which is time and money, teachers' time as well. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, less than 50% of the kids are proficient in reading, writing, and arithmetic by third grade. And those are benchmarks for success in life, Pam Menino. And we're about out of time. So your final thought, and then I'll go to you, Kim Gilmartin. But we have to realize that they're using time, money, and resources that could be used to help our kids learn how to read and write and do arithmetic.
Mm-hmm. So parents have got to take it on themselves. They've got to stand up and say, no, not you're not going to do this to my child. They're going to have to decide, do I want to put them in a public school? Do I want to homeschool them? Do I want to pay for a private school? That's a decision they're going to make. But if they're in, and a lot of parents have no choice but to go to the neighborhood school, so they're going to have to, they need to teach their kids how to read and write, and there are plenty of books out there that they can do that, and learn about it themselves first, how the proper way to teach reading. And then they're going to have very uncomfortable conversations with their teachers, their children's teachers, and just flat say, no, I don't want any of the social studies resources that are on Colorado Department of Education's website used with my child. Let me know. I'll keep them home that day. Or any resources that are like those.
Fantastic, Pam. And how can people find you and get more information about all the work that you're doing?
They can go to thinkfreedom.org. That's the Independence Institute's website.
Thank you for all the work that you do in this arena. And Kim Gilmartin, great having you here. This was fun.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been great. Thank you, Pam. This has been very eye-opening.
Well, thank you both.
Yep. Final thought.
My final thought. First of all, I want to say that this is not, I love teachers. Public school teachers are wonderful. They're really trying to do the best that they can, most of them. But they are really struggling right now because of what the top down is doing. And so parents, I cannot emphasize enough that this all starts with your local school board. You have to get involved in the local school board elections. We're going to have them next year again, because local school boards can do something about this. They're the ones who are going to help put policies in place, hold teachers accountable, make sure that parents are have full transparency into the classrooms. Get involved, please, and run if you can, if you have the time, because there's nothing more important.
And also be very active in your child's classroom as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Is there a website people can get information from you?
Yeah, well, if you are interested, and I have a little nonprofit called Liberty Schools Initiative, and so I work with different founding groups of parents who want to open classical charter schools. I have a lot of experience in it. I can tell you all the pitfalls and how to manage the political process. That's libertyschoolsinitiative.org.
LibertySchoolsInitiative.org. Kim Gilmartin, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kim.
And for all that you do. And Winston Churchill said this. He said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.